Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Life Made to Order Broadcasting right here in Phoenix, Arizona, Business Radio X studios in beautiful Tempe, Arizona, where the temperature today is a beautiful 86 degrees. As you all may know, spring training is ending today in both Florida and Arizona. I'd like to send out my heartfelt sympathy to all Major League Baseball players that have to head up north and start playing the regular season wearing mittens and stocking hats. Moving on to the, to the meat of the show, we are your hosts. I'm Wesley Henriksen.
And I'm Trudy Kaiser with Life Made to Order Financial Phoenix. Life Made to Order is a way of life. It's a belief that each one of us has the power to orchestrate our ideal experiences in life, particularly in business and finances.
Our show will air each month and focus on local entrepreneurs that have used this philosophy to grow their businesses and be successful.
We will start each show airing our Life Made to Order moments. So, Wes, would you like to start?
Well, it looks like the LMTO financial team got to participate in educating some fabulous ladies that she leads this month. They had approximately 42 ladies in attendance. And if you remember our guest from last month, Kelly Durham, she's a mentor at She Leads. It was a pleasure being able to share what we do with them and have them walk away with some true education. Their feedback was amazing. We got ended up getting 4.82 out of 5 stars.
That was awesome.
And we could sure use more of that.
I love it. I love the more of that please way of life. So I went to Atlanta last month with Miss Susan Henriksen over here. That's Wes's wife, for those of you who don't know. And we did this great training in Atlanta, got to see the beautiful weather in Atlanta. It did rain once while we were there. However, we learned some amazing things that we get to do with our company and our business in helping people become their own bank. So if you want to know more information about that, we can share that later. But it was great. More of that, please.
Today, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Mr. Devin Ellsworth with VIP Mortgage and Team Referral Network Phoenix. If you're thinking of financing a new home or refinancing your current home, Devin Ellsworth with VIP Mortgage offers programs and products to fit your unique financial situation. Offering top-notch customer service, fast closing, and experience, Devin and his team will work with you to make your dreams come true. Even if you're just thinking about home financing, set up a time to talk with Devin so you can know what your options are. Call today at 480-452-5308. That's 480-452-5308. VIP Mortgage, NMLS numbers 145502 and 1504692. They're an equal housing lender.
Team Referral Network is our other sponsor, and we are passionate about networking and connecting you with the right professionals to grow your business. Team Referral Network was created in 2002 out of Laverne, California, and that first chapter has grown to hundreds of chapters across the Western United States with plans to expand nationally and internationally. Team Referral Network includes weekly meetings with your chapter, training programs, business development, and most importantly, quality business relationships. We are expanding here in the Phoenix area, so come check us out and feel the team difference at teamreferralnetwork.com. So our guests today are Carrie Press, and she is the founder of Thermal Imaging Centers of America, and Miss Barb Regis, she is a physician's assistant and a primary care provider.
Let's start with Barb. Barb, tell us about what you do, Barb.
Hey, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show today. I'm a PA. I've been in practice for over 22 years. Was a business owner. Now I work for Premise Health at a corporation called Insight Enterprises here in Tempe. And I run their health center and see patients all day long. That is my passion, primary care. But I also have a passion after hours. And after hours is taking all that knowledge and advocating on a huge scale for people all over the world. So the way I'm doing that is by several mechanisms. One is that I am fortunate to also have a show here called Best of Health Radio. So to be on this side of the mic is really fun. Thank you guys very, very, very much. I also recently published a book, Surviving the Business of Healthcare. And I also am advocating big time with producing Ask the PA. It's a Facebook page. and also my website where people can come and ask me questions about just about anything. And I'll get back to them and help them advocate for their family's health, their health, and just see where it goes. I'm also a cancer survivor, and I'm advocating for cancer patients like myself. And so I am thrilled to be here, thrilled to have the honor to share experiences and to meet you as well.
Awesome. Ms. Carrie Press, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do?
I sure can.
Awesome.
My name is Carrie Press. I am the president and founder of Thermal Imaging Centers of America, where we use digital infrared thermal imaging for health assessments with no radiation. That's key. No radiation, no compressions, no injections. FDA-approved technology, it's not new. It's been around since the 1950s. FDA-approved in 1982, but not well-known enough. And I can tell you that thermography would have made the difference for me in my cancer diagnosis back in 2008. And I wish I would have known about it. So my passion is to ensure that the word gets out and people are aware that this is accessible, it's affordable, and it is an empowering tool when it comes to managing your own health care.
Fantastic. So,
Barb, I got a question for you. What is Ask the PA and how did it start?
Ask the PA is my website, and it's a passion I have to reach out to people so that they can get their healthcare questions answered and in a thoughtful way and not be embarrassed. No question is embarrassing. And so it started about 6 years ago when people were asking me questions behind closed doors, and I realized I could make a huge impact all over the world if people had accessibility to providers. And so what I've tried to do really hard is make myself as accessible as possible, and by several mechanisms, Ask the PA and also my book. My hope is that people realize that healthcare has its problems, but also there's a lot of us that are trying to do all the right things. And I'm really curious because about this show is I want to learn more about the thermal imaging and how it applies and all these kinds of things. So I'm thrilled to be here sitting beside you today.
Oh, thank you.
We are thrilled to introduce you to. And that was one of the main reasons that I was so excited about this show as well. It's because, you know, I have used thermography myself. So, Carrie, why don't you share a little bit about more about thermography, thermal imaging, how it works, and what can be some of the results from it?
Many people don't know about thermal imaging because it is a technology or a tool that can see disease, dysfunction, or even cancer before you ever get the diagnosis. And when Barb talks about the problems in healthcare, we know that the doctors and the FDA and the American Medical Association, they with their good intent, they are looking for how do we diagnose and how do we treat? Whereas thermography comes into the picture in how do we see what's developing and how do we prevent?
Before.
Exactly. Before you get that diagnosis, before the diagnosis is established and the treatment protocols are established. So thermography comes from a different perspective, number one. And number two, it's looking at the body in a totally different way. All of the other screening modalities that are available to us through the healthcare system and through conventional medicine are looking for abnormalities of the structure of our body. A lump, a bump, a growth, some sort of degradation, whatever that may be. Thermography, through its heat emitted, kind of like Doppler radar, think of it as Doppler radar, is looking at how the body is functioning. And we all know, it is common knowledge, but I'll remind you again, that disease, dysfunction, and cancer does not happen overnight. It takes 8 to 10 years for it to develop to the point that it can be seen on all of those screening modalities. Thermography can see how the body is functioning from a physiological perspective because of the heat that's being emitted, and we can see that dysfunction, that disease, or even that cancer in its developmental stages before you will ever get the diagnosis. Now, why this is key is because not only is it safe, but it gives us the opportunity to avert, forestall, or even prevent that actual diagnosis and that treatment. I tell the story, and when the opportunity presents itself, I will share how it would have made a difference for me in my cancer diagnosis.
Awesome.
Okay, Barb. What is the best of health advocacy, and why is it important?
Well, best of health advocacy is something that we developed in the last year. And basically what it is a ability for, again, me to be able to reach out to people and advocate for them. I'm currently working with a nurse and a few people to design some programs in which we can just advocate and basically make sure that patients have different areas and different ways to reach out.
I'll tell you, being in the industry that I am in, I come in contact with clients all the time, and doing the whole underwriting process with life insurance and that sort of thing. There are so many people out there that need an advocate because they don't know that they can say no to a doctor. They don't know that they can go get a second opinion. And most of them are prime story. I had a client in San Diego before I moved here to Phoenix. Her husband was a restaurant manager. They were new American citizens from another country, and he fell, hit his head because of a fainting, and they did all this stuff to him, put him on Keppra, put a heart monitor in him, put in his medical record that he had a stroke.
And there's a lot of broken parts.
There is a lot of broken parts, but it's nice to know that there's someone out there like you that can be there for people and know that, you know, there is an advocate. There is someone out there that we can go see Barb, right?
Well, you know, the thing is that there's a lot of us that want to advocate for patients.
Yeah.
The problem is that patients don't realize that they have that ability to reach out, like nurses, you know, Bridges
exactly.
And stuff like that. There's groups doing that. The problem is still there's this facade that doctor knows best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need to get over that. There's also the facade that you shouldn't ask for a second opinion. I totally disagree. You should ask for a second opinion. If you're not comfortable with your care, go a different direction.
Right.
You just need to do that. And so, like, a lot of us are open to different types of procedures and stuff like that. So the thermography for me is really interesting because I, as a cancer patient, think it's brilliant to be able to have a procedure done that is not going to give me any radiation, right?
Right.
You know, I've been basically PET scanned. I've had MRIs. I've dodged CT scans so far.
Good job.
You know, I'm dodging them as much as I can. As a matter of fact, I negotiated with my doctor and just basically said, here's the deal. If you want me to get a breast mammogram, I'm going to go ahead and get myself a MRI of the breast. And then if we have a problem, we'll do ultrasound because I'm tired of all the radiation. I'm going to do everything in my power because radiation is going to cause cancer.
Yep.
Radiation will cause cancer. So the issue with you, I'm just going to make a comment right now, is I think what you're doing is amazing, but it's getting the FDA to have enough studies to actually say, instead of an adjunctive study, like, for example, in mammography, standard of care in the allopathic medical community is basically you order a mammogram. If you have dense breast tissues, you may be able to get prior authorization for an MRI. Hmm. Nowhere does it say that you get thermography, right?
Right, right.
So that's the issue. Is the issue is like educating people and saying, okay, if you don't want to date with the tortilla press, I'd rather you go and get thermography or do something because, you know, something is better than nothing, right?
I've never dated a tortilla press.
Hey, man, I'll tell you, it's awesome. Did you ever get the boost pitch?
I've had one.
It's a date with the tortilla press.
Yes. Carrie, so speaking to Barb's, is radiation.
Yes, Barb is bringing up so
great.
So let's have that conversation.
Yes,
let's go for it.
So many awesome points. So in regard to thermography, you're absolutely right in that there's no radiation whatsoever. And this ionizing radiation from medical screening procedures is cancer-causing radiation, period.
Right. And you know, like a CAT scan of the full body is equivalent to about 120 x-rays?
And did you know one mammogram is the equivalent to 1,000 chest x-rays?
1,000?
1,000 chest x-rays.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot, but I didn't think it was 1,000.
One CT scan of the abdomen and pelvis, which, by the way, is the most commonly prescribed CT scan, is the equivalent in ionizing radiation as those that were exposed to the Fukushima nuclear power plant explosion.
So how much is in a PET scan?
10 times that. So now a PET scan is actually, and you and I both know, you are being injected in your veins with radioactive sugar water into your veins to go to where the cancer site is.
Yeah, so you understand how it works. Cancer feeds on sugar. Mm. And so basically what happens
so
is that
the radiation will light it up.
The radiation will light it up. And that's what PET scans are all about.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
So there is risk. I mean, but the alternative is that, you know, in allopathic medicine, that's our standard of care.
Right. Yes.
And so the thing is, if people can prove through the FDA studies that these types of tests are safe, which we know they're safe, but also
insightful, empowering,
right, exactly,
and adjunctive insight that's going
exactly
to help us manage our own healthcare.
Exactly.
I want to just kind of just put a little disclaimer in here. We're talking about the ionizing radiation and the cancer-causing radiation. There is a time and a place
exactly
for a mammogram, for a CT scan, for a PET scan. There is a time and a place in which we should have those.
Exactly, exactly.
So none of us at the table are saying don't have that.
Right.
What we're saying is empower yourself with other adjunctive tools to give you the insight that you need to make your own decision. And we had talked, you had mentioned, Barb, about, and Trudy, you had mentioned too, people are afraid to question their doctor.
Mm-hmm.
People are afraid to ask for a second opinion. People don't know where to go.
Right.
If you can empower yourself to make the best decision for you, I mean,
that's why I was so excited to have
made,
you two on the show.
And that's what we're talking about. What we're talking about is actually a form of integrative medicine.
Yes.
Like you take the best of all worlds.
Of all
we
worlds.
Put it all together. We talk about it almost like have a panel for each patient, say what's best for this patient.
Right.
So wouldn't it be awesome? Like, okay, I get another PET scan and I'm clear, right? And so I dodged all those CAT scans, but I have to have a PET scan just to make sure that my melanoma is at
right
bay. And we've had some false positives with it. Whereas I'm sure with thermogram as well, you have some false positives.
It would have, and yes, there's, well, we also know too, I'm going to kind of elaborate on my disclaimer here. No one test is
exactly
the silver bullet.
Right.
And we should not depend
exactly
on one test. So for us to keep searching for that,
it doesn't exist. It's
no,
like it's like the one pill. Yeah,
exactly.
There's no perfect pill.
The
no perfect
pill.
Test.
Yes,
that's right.
Wouldn't
doesn't
that be nice
exist? But we do need to empower ourselves with the knowledge from all aspects, whether it be like we were talking about conventional medicine, integrative, holistic medicine, from a structural perspective versus a physiological, functional perspective.
Right.
We need all the information. The other thing too is you were talking about, Barb, scientific studies and medical journal submissions that are backing up the technology. When I started studying thermography 8 years ago, there were only, and I say only, 800 peer-reviewed studies that had been submitted to the medical journals
right
supporting thermography in various aspects. Just last week, doing more research, I pulled up the medical journal databases mm-hmm that I use, and there are now 8,774 studies that have been submitted to the medical journals.
Congratulations.
Supporting thermography.
And that's what we need, is we need to have those data points so that it can get through, you know, the FDA and all these kinds of things to be indicated for. Again, wouldn't it be amazing if we could use that along with, you know, regularly, along with PET scans, CAT scans, insurance,
right, and we're
cover
not
it
replacing anything.
No,
we're
it's
just adding to it.
Adding to it, giving us another tool in our toolbox, which is really, really, really important. Mm-hmm. The more tools we have, the better patient advocates and better mm-hmm outcomes our patients are going to have. So, like, I'm totally open to this. And it's interesting. If you have 2 seconds, here's a really interesting story. There is a process there is for prostate cancer that men can have done in Mexico, and it's based on ultrasound and it's based on different techniques. And so it's interesting. I know somebody who went traditional medicine for their prostate cancer. At the same time, I also know someone who went to Mexico and had the same procedure, this other procedure based on ultrasound. And both of them are cancer free. Both of them.
I have a friend of mine that went to Mexico to have it done. And had he not, he was going to be on his last legs. I'm not sure why we're not doing that here in the United States.
It's coming. And that's what I was going to. all of a sudden, there's a big buzz in the medical community right now. We need to know more about this. We need to know what's going on here. So all of a sudden, they're rushing this through the FDA to get approval for urologists to do this procedure. And so there's a lot of information out there, especially in Europe and in South America, to support these other studies. So like you say, 8,000?
8,000.
Congratulations.
Yes.
It will be part of... I hate to say, but it's what I am. I'm an allopathic practitioner. It'll be another tool for my toolbox. So that excites me.
Yes. Yes.
We're on our way.
Carrie, are the insurance companies on board with this thermography?
There are more and more insurance companies that are looking at thermography. As of right now, there are supplemental insurance companies that do cover thermography. However, the big names are not quite there yet. Mm. But here's the key, and I'm going to share this story. During my cancer diagnosis, at one point, I woke, everybody knows cancer's scary, right? Mm-hmm. And I woke up in the middle of the night gasping for air because I had convinced myself that there was more cancer somewhere and they had missed it. Mm. And so at my next doctor's appointment, I had asked the doctor to send me for another PET scan. Now, granted, I didn't know then what I know now. So I asked for another PET scan and he said, absolutely not. I'm not subjecting you to that radiation. I will allow you to have a full body MRI if that will put your mind at ease. But insurance isn't going to pay for it because you just had a PET scan 3 months ago. You're going to have to pay out of pocket.
Wow.
At that point, I said, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, because you didn't care at that point.
Right.
I just want to know.
All that mattered. Right. So I called around the valley. And I was quoted anywhere from $3,200 to $5,800 for a full body MRI. And that the variances were open, closed, with contrast, without contrast, so on and so forth. I paid it. I paid $4,800 for a full body MRI to put my mind at ease.
Who wouldn't?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know about thermography at the time. Had I known that I could have had a full-body thermal scan that would have told me not only what was already developed, but what may be developing for $550.
Yeah.
Wow.
Guess who would have been the one signing up?
Right.
No doctor referral required because there's no danger, there's no exposure, there's no risk.
Right.
So well, anybody can have a thermal
there's
scan.
There's no liability.
There's no liability. Anybody can have a thermal scan, and it's affordable.
Do most doctors know how to read these scans?
We have board-certified thermologists, doctors of thermology, that read these images and create a report of findings. And then that report of findings is empowering you to manage your own health care. And if you want to share that with your doctor, of course, you can certainly share it. Right now, the medical industry is torn.
Yeah.
Some doctors are saying, yes, this is amazing. This is another tool in my toolbox. And other doctors are saying, well, I didn't learn about that in medical school.
So it doesn't exist.
Well, that's the problem with medicine in general right now.
Yeah.
It's you have creative providers out there that are willing to be open about things. And then you have people that are looking at the cookbook. And if it doesn't fit the cookbook, if it doesn't fit
the recipe.
But Barb, don't you think it's changing? I believe the shift is happening.
Yeah.
Just think about in the last, 8 years that I've been in my industry, from 800 studies to almost 9,000
right.
studies. The shift is happening.
And it can't happen fast enough.
Right.
Right. And hopefully what happens is in medical school, PA school, nurse practitioner school, these kinds of things are integrated into, training and stuff to be open to understanding how things work and go. It's another, way to approach it. It would be interesting to have like an oncologist with us to discuss this and see what they, what they have to say about it. Again, I think there's a lot of people that are open to it. Like you say, because the pendulum is swinging back. I'm excited that you've got those studies because that's what it's going to take for people to finally wake up. And also what's going on in Europe. Usually we're behind. How many years in Europe? We're usually, almost a decade behind Europe. But we finally get there.
And, what's happening, too, is just yesterday I spent 2.5 hours on a conference call with an organization through the Indian Health Services that they are to stay away from the confines because we're so behind from an FDA and American Medical Association. They are talking about breaking ground in June of this year for a holistic integrative hospital here.
Yep, it's happening.
Native land. And these discussions are indications that these changes are happening.
Good shifts.
Yeah,
and shift is happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, when I had my own practice, that was my dream. First thing we do is we brought psych in, and I wanted to do, you know, naturopath. I wanted to bring in a whole lot of different parties, physical therapy, acupuncture into it. That's my dream. So if I win the lottery, it's still going to happen.
You can still do that. I see it happening. Yeah,
but
I
that's
totally
what that's what we need. I mean,
yes.
And patients also respond to different modalities.
They do. Don't put us in a box.
Well, a lot of people do, which is unfortunate.
I've also been asked to speak on a platform to share about thermography through TIPA organization, which is a organization of 317,000 allopathic practitioners that are looking to incorporate alternative, holistic, and integrative modalities into their practices.
Amen.
Yes. And add these types of technologies to their toolbox. And so the shift is happening.
Yeah.
The
and I'll tell you, if you ever, if you haven't seen Carrie speak, it's so empowering. It's so empowering. I met her 2 years ago, and I met her through a personal introduction through a mutual friend. And I drove over there to Glendale to see Carrie and heard her story and left with just such an amazing, I was just so inspired by Carrie. And really at that point, so my mom had breast cancer and she had a double mastectomy and she died when she was 69. I was 26 years old when she died. I started getting mammograms when I was 38 years old. Dense breast, the whole night. I know, TMI, right? However, this
important.
Needs to be shared. This is important.
It's very important.
So I started getting mammograms when I was 38. By the time I was 41, they were telling me that I had dense breasts, that I needed to go back every 6 months, and I had calcium deposits.
Imagine
I did
that.
Not know. I did not know what that meant, right? Calcium deposits, whatever. They didn't say cancer. It was the other C word, calcium, right? So that's what I called it. By the time I was, let's say I was 42 at that point. So by the time, I, you know, 5 years down the road, I was getting mammograms every 6 months. Every 6 months.
I wonder what was causing those calcium deposits.
Right. So weird. So I moved here and I stopped getting mammograms. I was like, eh, whatever. I'm not going to do it anymore.
It's too bad you were introduced to MRIs sooner.
Well, yeah. But here's the thing. And I'll tell my story, Carrie. Uh-huh. I was trying to get some more life insurance on myself. I'll just be honest. I needed more living benefits. If you don't know what those are, ask. So I was, not shameless plug. So I was trying to get more living benefits on myself because they're fantastic and I needed them. And I was thinking, well, okay, I need to do this. And they said, so have you, the life insurance company called me and they said, even though I'm their agent and I do this stuff, she said, have you got that follow-up mammogram done? And I was like, no, I haven't done that. So I go to get a follow-up mammogram at Mam Exams, and I know what's going to happen. They're
right.
going to tell
me. What
did
they say?
They say, oh, you have calcium deposits.
And you need to come back.
Well, I said, I need you to pull my records from San Diego and compare, because if there's no difference,
right.
then I'm good.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, yeah, that's a good
Most
idea.
Of the time, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So I made them do that. Pulled the records. There was a significant difference. They said, you need to come back in and get a diagnostic mammogram. And I thought, well, that's got to be more than a regular mammogram, right? I mean, more radiation.
More radiation.
So, and I knew Carrie, and I said, okay, I'll call you back and make the appointment. And I immediately called Carrie. And I said, I need to make an appointment. This is what they told me. This is what they're doing. Because my story was just like hers.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The calcium deposits.
Yes.
It ended up being, I went and got a full body thermography. It ended up being end stage inflammation in my left breast, 3 months of a protocol of supplements and eating right and praying a lot. I was done. It was gone.
Yep.
I went back and it was gone. Gone.
And that there is the beauty in thermography.
There's the beauty of it. I went back and I was able to see what I was doing was working.
Yes.
Because I went back, that was in September. I went back in January, got a follow-up thermography, and it was all good. And all I did was take some supplements of MSM. I did some diaphragmatic breathing, and I cut a little back on sugar.
And you did your liver cleanse.
And I did that after that thermography.
And the improvements were amazing.
Incredible.
The improvements were amazing. But then again, the power of thermography, because you were able mm-hmm. to actually see that what you were doing made a difference.
It wasn't just a guess. It wasn't, well, your blood looks like it's working or mm-hmm. this or whatnot. I could see the difference in my whole entire gut system, everything, my lymph, the whole nine yards. It was incredible. And you talk about empowering.
Yes.
You talk about empowering, because then I had my health in my hands.
Yes.
Right?
You're managing it.
It was my responsibility. It was my decision. It was my empowerment.
And you knew what you were doing was working.
Was working. Exactly.
And you didn't have to go and be led by the nose for this
and walk away.
Diagnostic screen and that right. diagnostic screen.
Walk away wondering.
So one question. Tell me about any chances of, like, not that, now you're the devil's advocate piece.
Right? Yes.
The operator error, like, if one tech does it, this procedure, and another tech does a procedure, and they set it up, are all the procedures going to be equally as have the equal efficacy?
Are you talking about for comparative reasons?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is a great question, because it's important when someone is seeking to have a thermal scan that they do stay with the same reading doctor and or technology that's being used.
Right.
And that's my personal opinion. And the reason I say that is when you're looking for a thermographer, there are a few questions you need to ask. Number one, is the reading doctor a board certified doctor of thermology? And how many years of experience do they have reading these images for clinical purposes?
Right.
The other is the technology that they're using. And there are variances in the technology.
And that's what I've read. It's all over the place.
Yes. So in the technology that I use is, and I might be getting a little too technical for you, but the technology that I use actually takes the images, and it's the software, not the camera, that is converting
right.
the image into temperature readings. And the temperature readings are being done scientifically, mathematically, as a relative temperature reading, not an absolute temperature reading.
Okay.
That's key.
Okay.
That is key.
So how many people out there are certified to do thermography at that level? I mean, how many?
Reading doctors?
I mean,
or
yeah.
thermographers? Like, I'm the technician.
Both, actually.
I don't know about how many. I couldn't quote you the numbers because it's growing and changing.
Arizona.
In Arizona, I would think that there are about 15 different thermography clinics.
Okay. And not to put you on a limb, though.
That's okay.
When you're saying the technology varies so much, tell me how the variant of the technology is within those 15 clinics.
Technology has improved so much, and it has improved so fast and
uh-huh.
so quickly that there are huge variances.
Right.
Huge variances. And much, some of the technology has never been updated. It hasn't been,
right.
it's antiquated.
Right.
It's very pixelated images, and some of the software is still using absolute temperatures rather than
right.
relative temperatures. And that's key. And again, that's, you know, my opinion from my perspective.
Right. And so the take home message is, if you are going to go that route, make sure you go to the same facility.
Yes.
The same technician, and make sure you're comparing apples with apples, mm-hmm. not apples with tangerines.
Right. Yes. And the other thing, too, is, and I'm just going to throw this out there, I am more than willing, because I'm more about the truth about thermography than anything else. If you have questions about any other facility, any other doctor, if you just want the truth, call me. I am more than willing to answer those questions, give you guidance, and show you the
She's
direction.
She's advocating, folks.
Advocating. Love it.
Yes, and show you the direction that you need to go. I'm not saying you have to come see me at my... No, I want you to know the truth, and I'm going to lead you in the right direction that's in your best interest.
And how do people reach you?
They can call me at 623-243-7100, or they can contact me via the website, thermalimagingcenters.com, or just look me up on Facebook, Thermal Imaging Centers, or Cary Press. I am available. My mission in life, yes, I have the platform to help people in my clinic, but my mission in life is to teach people about thermography, get the word out there, and empower people so that nobody has to go through what I went through, which was an unnecessary double mastectomy with reconstruction.
Unnecessary.
Yes.
Double mastectomy.
Thermography would have told me that those microcalcifications were the end stage of chronic inflammation, not the beginning stage of breast cancer.
Interesting.
And I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the main reasons I went to you. Because I knew how much sugar I was eating. Let's just face it. Let's face it.
Well, that's because you're sweet.
I'm a sweet, sweet.
So
sweet
what you're
mother.
Saying is when your breast tissue went to path, what was the final report?
That there were microcalcifications.
Okay.
That had cancer cells in it. And I explain this to people. This is how I explain it. Imagine that you pour a drop of water, right, on the kitchen counter.
Mm-hmm.
And this water is cancer water. You pour it on the counter and you let it evaporate. What's going to end up there is residual.
Right.
Those microcalcifications once the water has evaporated. And that residual is going to have cancer cells in it because it was cancer water.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the end stage, not the beginning stage. And the only thing that would have told us that would have been a thermal scan.
Interesting.
Because there would have been no angiogenesis. Now that's the...
Right. Understand.
The blood flow
right.
going to helping this tumor grow, there would have been no angiogenesis there. So there would have been conflicts in my mammogram, my ultrasound, my biopsy said, yes, it's there. And the thermal scan would have said, no, there's nothing there. There's no angiogenesis.
Right. And that's the key. And
yes.
And go ahead and just explain really quick about the thermography and its relationship to inflammation and blood flow. I think that's really key, what you're talking about right here. And so for a layperson, just kind of explain that a little bit more. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind. I love it. The difference or the value that thermography brings is it's telling us from a physiological perspective what is happening. So when I use that word angiogenesis for the layperson, that means blood flow. Any kind of disease, dysfunction, inflammation, and or cancer requires blood flow.
Right.
Additional blood flow.
Right.
Added blood flow. And that emits a heat pattern that is detected by the thermal cameras.
Gotcha.
So the thermal cameras can see that angiogenesis, which is contributing to the development of disease dysfunction.
And they didn't see that in the thermoscan for you.
I didn't have a thermal scan.
If you would have had a thermoscan, they would not have seen that.
Right. If I had had a thermal scan, it would have shown that those microcalcifications had no angiogenesis associated with it, which would have then told me this is end stage, not beginning stage.
Why can we not come up with a group of people out here in Phoenix Metro to do some studies with this? Why couldn't we put a radiology facility along with thermography? And why don't we check for this angiogenesis and let's get going with this?
That's why I brought you two together.
So, hey, I'm somebody who's very open. And so my attitude is that, you know, that's a really important key. And that happened to you, then we should be able to find breast cancer patients out there that are willing to, you know, go through these studies and see. And then make a choice.
And, you know, I will tell you.
You need a trial.
I need a trial.
Maybe you two should be teaming up with each other.
What I'm seriously saying is, like, they do need to have a trial so that more people can learn about this and see this in action.
Exactly. It's one of the main reasons we wanted to bring you two together, because we both know that you're both very passionate about what you do. You're very open-minded, Barb. And Cary is so passionate about what she does. And I'll tell you, the 9 times out of 10, when I bring up thermography, people go, what is that? What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Right.
I don't even know what that is. So I could sit here and talk about this all day. I do want to talk about a couple of other things before we move on. And maybe Barb could have Cary on her show. That would be awesome.
That would be wonderful.
Maybe we'll do that. So
sorry about that. Hey, we got into a tangent here, you know.
One more step in the right direction.
Yes,
Barb, I understand that you've decided to write a book. What are some of the important takeaways from the book?
Well, the book is right here. It's called Surviving the Business of Healthcare. And basically what it is, it's little caveats of how to save money, how to get better patient care experiences, how to make better decisions, understand what the healthcare experience is all about. It also brings into play a little bit of my history of living in a small town in Coorsburg, Pennsylvania, where I was the doctor's kid. And actually, so it tells stories about that.
Nice.
And basically, my father was a town doctor, and we had all sorts of stuff that happened at our house that would be so much a violation in HIPAA, you wouldn't believe it. But hey, it was fun, and I learned a lot, and I'm awesome. Grateful to my parents. So the book has a lot. It's a cottage book. It's really quick. It's fun. It's a fast learn, fast read. And I can guarantee that everybody will get at least one thing out of this book.
Oh,
if you
awesome.
Don't, let me know and money back.
Where can we get the book?
You can get it at Amazon.
Amazon.com, Kindle.
You can get it at Barnes & Noble.
Fantastic.
And we have an audio almost ready to go.
Oh, how cool. Did you do the audio?
No.
Oh.
Didn't
wow.
have time. But I had someone I think with a cool voice
really cool,
do it.
Though.
Yeah, it was fun.
Is it a European accent voice?
Here, Rowdy. Look, I just opened to page 66, and here's one of your takeaways, right? You said small little takeaways from the book and easy read. I come to this one. Do your homework! Exclamation point.
Yeah,
right?
You picked a good page.
Yeah.
Do your homework.
And this book is for you.
Oh, thank you.
That's so awesome.
I want you to sign it.
Hey, thanks for asking.
That's awesome. I love it. So we kind of went over a few of the other questions, but, you know, Carrie, why do you think we haven't heard about thermography? Why do you think that?
It's a complicated answer,
yeah.
But it's very simple. And Barb can probably attest to this. And it's what I had talked about earlier. When we come to allopathic medicine,
yep.
The FDA and the American Medical Association wants medicine practitioners to find the diagnosis and then use these protocols
to treat them.
Standard of care.
Yeah.
Exactly. The gold standard of care or the standard of care. And thermography is about seeing what is developing.
Not there yet. Right. So there's no protocol. There's
right.
no standard of
care. Maybe developing.
Got it.
So that we can avert forestall. We don't have to get to that diagnosis.
Right.
And so we don't have to fall into then that trap of treatment protocols.
Can you explain more about, what did you say, allopathic medicine?
Yes.
There may be some people out there that don't know what that means.
Allopathic medicine is conventional medicine. Go ahead,
right.
Barb.
Yeah,
Jump in.
We medical school, and it's a medicine where we use medications to
okay.
treat.
Would you say Western studies. Medicine then?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Allopathic.
Conventional medicine.
Allopathic medicine.
Yeah, conventional
like
medicine.
It's a big,
allopathic
big
medicine.
Big word. How do you spell that anyway?
Allopathic.
Fantastic. Awesome. Awesome. I could talk about this all day. I tell you, I could talk about this all day. So what can people hope to gain by asking the PA, and where should they go to find Ask the PA?
Again, my website, www.askthepa.com, and basically you can reach out to me. There's access to all my radio shows, also my book, and also a place where you can just ask medical questions or advocacy questions. Anything in is fair game. If I don't know the answer, I'll try to reach out to people that can help us out. And again, my goal is for better healthcare experiences, better outcomes, and to avoid a lot of unnecessary hoops.
Awesome.
Yes.
Fantastic.
I want to kind of add in on there. Barb's talking about unnecessary hoops and unnecessary screenings and testings and all of the things that, you know, doctors in allopathic medicine puts us through. Trudy, that I do a ton of research in my spare time. And when I'm presenting, about 2 years ago, I came across a video on YouTube put out by Consumer Reports. And we all know Consumer Reports is a neutral resource for us. And they were talking about the dangers and the risks involved in medical screening radiation. And they talked specifically about CT scans.
Right.
And why there are so many of those CT scans being pushed upon us as patients. The information and the statistics in that video is unbelievable.
It blew me away when I saw it.
Yes. So if anybody's interested, just go onto YouTube, Consumer Reports Radiation will bring you to that video. And the insight is mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. It really
mind-blowing.
Is.
Mind-blowing.
And again, as a cancer patient who's subjected to a lot of this testing, it is scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I reach out to people in various Facebook pages that are getting CAT scans every 3 months, and they're demanding by their providers that they get these scans every 3 months. Medicine is in a little bit of a quandary right now.
Yeah.
And if I have 2 seconds just to elaborate, you know, the reason we're in a quandary is because, A, it's very litigious. And if you don't practice the standard of care and something is missed,
right,
people are not going to hesitate to reach out to an attorney.
An attorney and sue you.
And sue you.
Yep.
And so what's happening is that people are practicing a little bit of what I would say defensive medicine.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're doing the study because, like, for example, you have a lung nodule. Well, depending on the size of the lung nodule, well, you just bought yourself CAT scans maybe every 6 months for so long, and then a year. And then finally, after 5 years, if it's really calcified and everything's good to go, you don't have to have any more CAT scans. And so if you don't do it and somebody ends up with lung cancer, get out your checkbook,
right,
folks.
Right, exactly.
So
that's the quandary.
It's
that's
the quandary. And
that's why the beauty of thermography empowers us as individuals, right, but also empowers the practitioner.
Right.
And here in that video I was just talking about, they were saying that one-third of those CAT scans that are prescribed or ordered are for defense purposes only. And we're subjecting ourselves to radiation. Yeah.
And what's
and
then,
And then talking about mammograms, you know, I talk about mammograms being the equivalent of 1,000 chest x-rays in ionized radiation or cancer-causing radiation. But think about, too, the compression alone, how it is degrading the integrity of that tissue and then adding the radiation.
Yeah, because if there is something there, what if they burst it?
Right, beat it up.
Beat it up, kick it around a little
and
bit.
And then spit on it.
Yeah, sounds like something out of the Dark Ages.
It is, and that's why I'm a real proponent for MRIs, actually.
Yeah.
I'm
a
huge proponent for that, and I hope we do more MRIs, and that will become at least a better standard than mammography, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, and adding to it, adjunctively, the thermal scan, I mean, again, we go back to no one test is the silver bullet. And every test does have its purpose. Even a mammogram does serve its purpose. I mean, a mammogram is going to tell us the exact location of a lesion. It's going to give us the latitude and the longitude of an existing lesion. But should that be the screening mechanism in which we're using?
Right.
You know, an ultrasound is going to tell us, what is the consistency of this lesion? Is it round? Is it jagged? Is it smooth?
Fluid
is it liquid? Is it, is it solid? So every test has its purpose, but there are certain tests that we probably shouldn't be using for screening mechanisms and, you know, adding to our toolbox. And thermography is, a great adjunct.
I think we're on our way. Like you said, I think the pendulum is changing and it's switching back. And hopefully, you know, with more and more studies, we'll realize that, again, do no harm.
Yep. In 2015, the Swiss Medical Board took a 25-year study on mammographies and found that for every one life saved, they had lost 5 lives. So, net negative of 4. And so what they decided is, because their healthcare system is totally different than ours here in the United States, the medical board, the Swiss medical board said, we're abolishing mammography as a screening mechanism for breast health screening. And in 2016, the ruling was that there will be no new mammography clinics opened. And by year end 2017, all existing mammography clinics shall be closed.
Wow.
And in Switzerland, they now use thermography and ultrasound as their standard of care for women's breast health screening.
Nice.
Well, look at that.
Hello.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
We could learn something from the Swiss.
Yes.
Awesome.
Other countries. You know, we talked about other countries being so far ahead of us.
Yeah. And you think they're not. And they actually are.
Right.
You know.
All right. Well, ladies, I literally could sit here and listen to this all day because I'm just so passionate about it. However, we would like for you to share about how to get a hold of you. Barb, how do we get a hold of you? Tell us about your radio show. Tell us how to get a hold of you.
Pretty simple. just Facebook page, Ask the PA, Instagram, Barbara Regis, www.askthepa.com is probably the best way to get a hold of me. Okay. My Best of Health radio show is once a month, and I'm thrilled to be able to do that. And I'm looking forward to reciprocating and inviting you all on my show to have some discussions as well, because I need to learn about what you do more.
Fantastic.
And I want to thank you so much for today's opportunity. Thank you very much.
It was truly a life made to order having you on our show today, Barb. But Carrie, tell us once again how to get a hold of you, where your office is, and your phone number, all that good stuff.
Well, you can contact me, Carrie Press, P-R-E-S-S. The website is thermalimagingcenters.com. My office is located right off of 101 and 17 in Glendale. There is no prescription required, just
no prescription.
Call.
And her name is spelled K-E-R-R-Y, not K, not C-A-R-R-I-E. It's Carrie.
Thank you.
Carrie Press.
Carrie Press.
Yeah.
You can also call the office anytime. Don't worry about office hours. I make myself available, even Trudy, you know, over the weekends to encourage you as a life moment. Yes, baby doll, you can do this.
Yes.
You can do this cleanse.
You got this down.
But you can call me anytime at 623-243-7100. Again, Thermal Imaging Centers of America.
Fantastic.
Very good.
And Barb, could you tell us the name of your book again?
Surviving the Business of Healthcare, Knowledge is Power, and it's a labor of love.
Labor of love. Aww. Surviving the Business of Healthcare. It's, you owe yourself to get out there and get that book. So, well, we'd like to thank our guest today, again, Carrie Press with Thermal Imaging Centers of America and Barb Regis with Best of Health. We'd also like to thank Karen Nowicki, president and owner of Phoenix Business Radio X right here at Max 6 Conscious Workspace for this opportunity. Special thanks to our sponsors, Devin Ellsworth with VIP Mortgage and Team Referral Network Phoenix.
Life Made to Order Financial Phoenix specializes in teaching folks instead of telling them what to do with their finances by hosting live workshops across the country. Virtual workshops are also available multiple times a week.
Please visit lmtophxevents.com to see which workshop can fit into your schedule.
No risk, no fees, safe retirement done with ease.
You can also follow us on social media. Life Made to Order Radio PHX is on Facebook. Instagram is LMTO_radio_PHX. And if you have Podbean, for those out there who have Podbean, we have a channel called Life Made to Order.
Tune in next month on April 23rd at 1 p.m. for our guest Wendy Lookwood, Crest Insurance, and Ronit Ehrman, president of NABO Phoenix. Until then, live your life made to order.